40 minutes past 7 on Your Better Mix 99.7. This is the Saturday Lifestyle Show. You've got Rich here this morning. And we're going to talk some health and happiness right now. And, of course, we've got Claire in the studio. Good morning, Claire. How's it going with you?
Good morning, Rick. Really well with me. Thank you. It's nice and sunny today after that big downpour yesterday.
I was driving home yesterday from work and I was looking at it going, no, it's not going to be sunny tomorrow. It can't be sunny tomorrow. Look how bad the weather is. And now it's beautiful and fine. It looks fantastic. But you've been away. You've been up in Cairns.
I have. That was beautiful up there. I think it was about 30 degrees. I felt like I was on holidays except for I was working. And I wanted to be everywhere but in a hotel room. But it was great. Everyone was in there. And here's my English coming out in their flip-flops, which are thongs.
Thongs or jangles.
I just wanted to get in my flip-flops and get in my, you know, shorts and just head to the beach.
Get a bit of sun, yeah.
Mm.
Cairns is a lovely place. And you go up there and you just kind of switch off from life because you had to work, so that wasn't so good. But anyway, hey, let's talk about happiness this morning. I don't know if you caught up during the week. There's been a lot of talk about people trying to be happy and how much we're spending on trying to just be happy. I can't believe what $950 a month or something people are spending on stuff they don't even need just to make them feel happy. There's got to be a cheaper way than that.
You know what? Happiness can be very cheap. You actually don't need to spend any money on being happy. Happy doesn't cost anything because happiness comes from within you. But so many of us are chasing happiness, thinking, you know, oh, once I have my new car, I'm going to be happy. And once we go on that holiday, I'm going to be happy. Or once I've got my house that I want, I'm going to be happy. And we just end up chasing this happiness and spending all of this money. And then when we get it, we go, oh, okay, I was happy for a few minutes and now, oh, okay, what's the next goalpost? And so you're just constantly chasing this happiness and spending all this money when, you know what, happiness is right here and now, and people just don't see that.
So if you look back on your life and say, I was happy at a particular stage of my life, does people look back on their life and say, I was particularly happy in life when I bought a new handbag?
I don't. I bet they wouldn't remember when they bought that new handbag or when they, you know, bought that new set of clothes. We probably would remember holidays because they're wonderful experiences, and there's nothing wrong with having those intermittent bursts of joy when we get to go on holidays because that's a wonderful experience. But I think a lot of people try to be happy by accumulating possessions, and we just want more and more and more, and that's the ego driving that. The ego goes, right, I need that new handbag to prove my self-worth, or, you know, so that I feel like I'm up with the crowd, or I need those clothes because if I've got those clothes on, then I'm going to feel more confident. And actually we need to just go deep inside us and go, you know what, I'm actually okay as I am, and realize that instead of chasing that happiness. A lot of people think that success brings happiness, but it's actually the other way around. Happiness brings success because, once you're happy in yourself and you realise that you are good just as you are, then you're not constantly, you know, chasing that success. And I know success means, you know, different things to every different person, but when you are chasing that success, once you get it, you go, okay, well, I've got that, what's next now? Whereas I talk about building an enduring base of happiness.
So is happiness generally, I mean, real happiness, talking about real deep happiness, does that, I think, for me, it tends to revolve around other people, spending time with other people or doing things for other people or spending time with those people rather than objects?
Yes, definitely. And lots of research and studies have proven that time and time again. Happiness is made up of quite a few things, and we are complex human beings. So, you know, once again, it is a little bit different for people, and different parts of being happy can have more meaning to others. So, for example, I believe happiness is made up of meaning and purpose. So it's making sure you've got some meaning and purpose in your life. It's also made up of being grateful and being mindful of connecting with people and having those relationships, being loved and loving in return and doing those acts of kindness. And if you sort of put all of those things together and you've got those coming into your life constantly, then you've got this wonderful enduring base of happiness. And I know that whenever I go and do something for someone else, the joy that I can't get from doing that just brings me so much happiness, and it comes back to you just twofold, threefold, fourfold even.
I wonder why that is.
I think inherently as humans we just want to be loved and we want to give love in return. And I think that's the basis of it. You know, a lot of times ego drives our action, but if we come from a base of love, then that's, you know, we're going to feel so much more contented. Whereas the ego just always wants more, more, more. You'll never satisfy that want. But when you give freely, you know, your love and kindness, it's just a really contented, satisfying feeling.
One thing I do notice, probably over the last few years, that you go into certain situations, people, do you find that people tend to stand off other people, strangers I'm talking about, more so than what they used to?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have developed this lack of trust, I think, and that's driven by a whole lot of media. I was pondering, actually, just during the week, so I'm always pondering, and it was Jill Maher's husband who did that interview. Mm-hmm. Was his name Tom, I think?
I'm not sure.
And they had this interview. Now, I only caught little snippets of it, but it was on Sunrise the other morning, and he said that he and Jill used to trust everyone. They used to approach everyone with kindness and love and would just inherently trust them, and he said that has just been shattered for him. And he just doesn't know how he could ever get that back. And that really hit home to me, because I think I love, always inherently look for the goodness in people and the kind, and I trust people. And I thought, wow, how does happiness come into play with that situation? That's a really tough one.
I find that an awkward situation, I don't know how, if you find the same thing, is getting into a lift, and you might have, I don't know, two or three people in there. It's, you know, and most lifts will hold about 20 people, so you have about two or three people in there. And generally, if the ride is going for more than, you know, 20 seconds or something, do you say hello? If someone does, then other people start looking at the ground or start looking at the numbers, and you kind of, people start getting awkward, don't they? But why is that?
I think we've just really isolated ourselves. You know, we live in our little boxes, our houses, and we, you know, get in behind our closed doors and we isolate ourselves from everyone because, you know, it's a big scary world out there, and and we, you know, we don't want to be judged by other people, and we're so caught up. I think a lot of us are narcissistic. It's all about us, and what if I say something? Someone's going to think that about me. Instead of just being open and friendly, because sometimes, as you probably know, Rick, like just a smile to a stranger could make their day. I would just read another classic example. Yes, the last 2 days I've been doing some work in the community, and we've had people come in each day with appointments and just talking to them, and I was just overwhelmed by the loneliness of people. Like, you know, these people are at home, and I don't think they have much interaction with others. So the highlight of the day was coming to see us, and they just wanted to talk and talk and talk because they don't get that. So we just isolate ourselves so much, and we're afraid, I think, to make that connection. And so many great things can come out of connecting with people.
I remember as a kid, people used to stand over fences and talk with their neighbours.
Yes.
And a lot of people around my neighbourhood probably wouldn't know too many of the neighbours, because they spend most time either out doing things and they're not much at home. They're only at home either to sleep or eat.
Yes.
And then they're out again.
Yeah, we're so busy, aren't we? We just live this frantic life where we're just constantly on the move and busy, and we don't stop to take in, and we don't stop to give freely to others. And one of the things that, you know, I was even thinking about this morning was mindful, and I'd love to, maybe we can talk about mindfulness in the next little segment, because that's a great way for us to stop and suddenly reconnect with where we are right here and now, and maybe that we can give people some tips to get off that, you know, merry-go-round and just be mindful and connect with someone during the day.
That sounds like a great deal. We'll talk about that next right here on Your Better Mix 997, 27 minutes before 8 o'clock on Your Better Mix 997. This is a Saturday Lifestyle Show. In the studio with me, I've got Claire. Now, Claire, we're going to talk about mindfulness. What are we going on about mindfulness now? We start getting all weird here, are we?
I wondered whether that's what you were going to say, that, because a lot of people go, oh, mindfulness, that's that stuff where you go and hug trees. And
Yeah,
I knew you were thinking about that.
I think it's a woman thing, is it?
No, it's definitely not a woman thing. A lot of people, when you do say mindfulness, are going, oh, that's a little bit too weird for me. But it's really just what it says, being mindful. And it is so hard to be mindful. A lot of people don't realise how hard hard it is. And the way to be mindful is, first of all, to be really conscious of your own thoughts, because we have thoughts that pop into our head. I think it's about 70,000 thoughts a day can pop
really?
Into your head. Yeah. So you don't even know, do you?
No, but I think do women have more thoughts than men?
No, I think we would probably have about the same. Even though we talk more, we probably have the same amount of thoughts. So these thoughts are just random thoughts, and they're always popping into your head.
From a guy's point of view, that's generally food, fast cars, and what movies are on, probably.
Oh, really?
I don't know. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, well, they just pop into your head, and you don't realise they're there until... And so the biggest thing about mindfulness, I think, is trying to quieten that your mind and just be right here in the moment. So a lot of the times, a lot of our thoughts are thinking about what's happened in the past or thinking about what's going to happen in the future. So, for example, I constantly have this little running commentary in my head, this little
really?
Voice that talks all the time. And though I'm not weird, you might think I am.
I'm kind of worrying now. Well, that was just a thought, sorry.
See, there you go. There's that little random thought that pops into your head.
It was a thought that I actually said something and I shouldn't have said something, should I? Anyway.
So, yeah, we have these thoughts. So I have a running commentary. As soon as I get up in the morning, actually, as soon as I wake up and my eyes open, the thoughts are there going, okay, get up now, Claire. No, I don't want to get up. Come on. No, it's cold. Oh, I'll just count to 10 and then I'll get up. So, you know, you go into negotiation mode straight away, and then I'm constantly thinking, right, so what am I going to have for breakfast? And then, oh, what am I going to have for tea? And how am I going to get here? And what am I going to do there? And so just constantly bombarded with this little running commentary.
Wow.
And what happens is, because we have this running commentary in our head, or we have these thoughts all the time, we actually forget to just be present and to enjoy the present moment. And we then miss out on so much because, you know, for example, when you're driving your car to work, and I'm sure this has happened to lots of people, it's like, oh, I'm here. Oh, my goodness. How did it get here? I kind of know I'm here, but what happened in that last half hour when
you were
on autopilot?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you could have missed many amazing things in that
particularly
half an
the
hour.
Red lights and...
That's right. So mindfulness is a real art, and you do have to practice it. And it is just stopping for a moment. So I'll give you an example. I actually try and stop at least 3 times during my day at work to bring myself back into the present, because I'm madly working away and I'm constantly thinking about what I've got to do and what meetings I've got to go to. And I have a little alarm on my phone that goes, stop. And
oh,
I go,
really?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, because you have to practice it. So in that moment when it says stop, I literally do, like I'm still just sitting at my desk, but I go, right, I'm just going to focus, I'm going to bring myself back to the present moment. So what I do is I focus on the noises that I can hear. So I tune into all the little conversations that are happening around the office. I actually notice how I'm sitting in the chair, you know, am I slumped over or am I sitting upright? Am I making sure my feet are on the ground? I'm feeling my fingertips on my clothes. You know, what does that thing like? So any little thing right there in the present moment I'm concentrating on. So I'm not thinking about the past, I'm not thinking about the future. I'm just being in that moment. Does that make sense?
It does. I think just thinking about your fingertips here on your clothes, I think that's definitely a woman thing.
Well, how often would you think about that? So you've got your hand resting on the bench top here at the moment.
Yep.
Okay, so think about that right at this moment. What can you feel on your fingertips? You know, how does that bench top feel?
It sounds really good. It's just really hard and just smooth here.
That's right. See,
this is very womanly, though, isn't it?
You would never give that a thought, would you?
No, not at all.
No.
No, I haven't.
But it's bringing your mind back to right here and right now. So you're not thinking about the past, you're not thinking about the future.
Yep.
Now, the other thing that you have to do is not judge it either. So you can't go, oh, okay, I've got my fingers on this bench top and I'm feeling it, but, oh, geez, I hate the colour of that. And I actually don't like the way it feels smooth, because then you're judging that thought and so you've got to just make sure you don't judge, that you're just being. So you're just being in that moment.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I can see you going, yeah, right.
okay.
So
I'll have to practice this because I'm not too good at this, I don't think.
No, you wouldn't. See, no, and not many people are very good at it. And lots of people go, well, what's the point of doing that?
That's a good, I like that.
Yeah, because I could see that going through your mind. You're thinking, well, what's the point of doing that? And it's really just, the point is that if you can bring yourself back to the present moment and learn to do it, so it's creating a habit, you will start to appreciate things that are happening in that moment. okay. instead, because we miss out on so much. Mm-hmm. So you might be out walking and suddenly you go, oh, hang on a minute, I remember that exercise I did when I felt the bench. And well, at the moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the sun and I'm going to look at the water and I'm going to listen to the birds. And I'm actually just going to take time out from my busy life, schedule, whatever, and I'm just going to enjoy this moment. And you start stringing those together. So you know how we were talking in the first segment about us not having time to speak to people or smile to people? Yep. Because usually we're just so preoccupied with and judging, oh my God, what will they think if I say something? And so this is preparing you to go, you know what, it's okay for me right now to be present and to say, smile at that person. I'm going to be present and I'm going to smile and I'm not going to judge that.
Okay.
And you start connecting more with the world around you.
Okay, that sounds like a good deal.
Mm.
I'll have to practice it, because this one's not going to be something that I'm just going to get in one day.
No, it wouldn't be.
It's going to have to be like 5 or 6 years, I think, I'm going to have to try and practice it.
So set your alarm 3 times a day.
Set my alarm, and I'm going to have to come in here and put my fingers on the bench and see if it's hard or soft or whatever, or grey or whatever
that's,
it is.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of get this feeling that, like you said with your mind, we're just ticking over all the time. Have you talked about that with a lot of other people, like with a lot of women in particular? Is that what happens with them as well, or is that?
Oh, your mind ticking over.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I would say lots of people listening to this may not be aware of it, but once you bring your attention to it, even just for a day, observe what comes into your mind. And even just in that moment when I say stop, and just observe what pops into your mind just for a minute. And it's crazy, and you start to, and if you do that quite, 3 times a day, you start to realise that the things that pop into your mind are usually the same things over and over and over again.
Okay.
Very much. They research shows that the thoughts that you had yesterday and the day before are the same as what you'll have tomorrow. And so
we're constantly
rehashing all of these thoughts, and it's exhausting.
It is.
It really
sounds
is
really
exhausting.
Exhausting.
So just becoming aware of what thoughts are constantly in your mind, and then, are these thoughts helpful to you?
Okay.
You know, are they just keeping me in Groundhog Day, or are they moving me forward? So in the next segment, Rick, we will touch on helpful thoughts. What are they? You know, what is helpful thoughts? And how do we look at our thoughts and go, wow, are they helpful or not?
I think I'm waiting for that. I can't wait for that, because I'm nowhere. We'll take a break at 18 minutes before 8 on your Better Mix 99.7. It's 6 minutes before 8 o'clock on your Better Mix 99.7. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday Lifestyle Show. We're talking some health and happiness right now. Now, Claire, we want to continue on about our thoughts, and I've been trying to practice about my positive thoughts and all this and mindfulness. Now, we want to move on to helpful thoughts. Sometimes we don't have them, though, do we?
No, we don't. We don't. Actually, a lot of our thoughts are negative. We're really, really great at having heaps of negative thoughts. It's a bit like when you say to someone, hey, you know, what are your top 5 strengths? Tell me 5 things that are really awesome about yourself. And a lot of people go, oh.
They start looking at the floor and...
But if I ask them, well, tell me some negative thoughts you've had, I'm sure most people could reel off a whole heap of negative thoughts. Yeah. And everyone says, oh, you shouldn't have negative thoughts, you've got to replace them with positive thoughts. And there's this guy called Russ Harris who's written some awesome books, and he has this thing called ACT, which is Acceptance Commitment Theory, which I love because it's more realistic.
Yeah.
It's going, hey, look, we're always going to have negative thoughts. They're always going to pop into your mind. And instead of trying to push them away and just constantly struggle with them, why don't we just go, hey, let's accept it, but let's think about something that could be possibly more helpful.
So does that work for you?
Yes, it is one of the most helpful things that I have ever read.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it's easy to do, it's not, because I will constantly have negative thoughts. But the way I look at it now is, as soon as I become conscious of those negative thoughts, I'll stop and go, oh, hang on a minute, is this thought helpful to me? Because a lot of the time we have these negative thoughts and we just let them run away with us, and before we know it, we're feeling really horrible. We're feeling really awful about yourself. Now, I don't want to feel awful. I want to feel happy. I don't want to feel like that. So if I say, challenge myself and go, right, if you continue with those thoughts, you're going to be unhappy, it's not going to be helpful in any way, I have a choice then. I have a choice to go, right, no, I'm going to replace that with a more helpful thought. So do you want me to give you an example?
Yeah, sure,
maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes it's good to have an example. I went for a run the other day, and I'm not particularly good at running. And so I started out on this run, and I felt awful. I felt like a lump of lard. I really was labouring, and the negative talk came in straight away. Oh, Claire Massingham, how can you call yourself a personal trainer when you can't even run, you know, 10 minutes without getting out of breath, and, oh, you know, I could feel my thighs wobbling, and the it was coming in thick and fast. And it wasn't until I got halfway around my run and I became conscious of this running commentary, and I went, oh, stop. Are these thoughts helpful? And I thought to myself, is this thought making me run any faster? Is it getting me any fitter? Is it making me a better personal trainer? And the answer was a resounding no. There is no way that those thoughts were helping me in any way. So I stopped them in their tracks and I thought, right, okay, I'll accept that I'll often have these thoughts. I'm just going to put it aside and I'm going to think of something that's a little bit more helpful. So what I started to think about was, hey, isn't it great that I actually got up this morning? I've got two legs to run on. Isn't it good that I can actually run 10 minutes? Wow, some people can't do that. Let me start being in the moment. You know, I talked about being in the present moment. Let me look at the sky and how awesome the sunrise is, and I could hear the birds. And did I run any faster? Probably not. It was still as hard, but I got home in a much better shape.
So does that change, just talking about mind, then there's a big connection there between mind and muscles.
Yes, So if
you're, say, an Olympic runner,
yeah,
and you're doing, say, a 200-metre run or a 100-metre run or something, and you're halfway down that doing your run, and you're thinking, oh, this is really rubbish, I don't know why I'm doing this, and then you kind of look the last 50 metres or whatever, you're going, oh, yeah, this is cool, I'm going well. It would be interesting to see, time-wise, whether that does have an effect, because I think it would.
Oh, definitely. You can't underestimate the physiological consequences of thinking negative on your body, and it comes out in stress all the time. And it's not good for your body. It is just not good. So yeah, that's the reason why it's good just to acknowledge those thoughts, because a lot of people go, oh, just replace them with positive ones. But that's not the answer either. And Russ Harris really challenges that, because it's not realistic. If you start going, oh, no, I can't, you know, I've got to just push these negative thoughts away, you're only going to get frustrated, because they're always going to be there. It's just our nature. I don't know why, but we just, you know, I think it comes back from our primitive mind, which is fight and flight.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a whole nother story. But but what we're just wired to do that. So the best thing is to go, hey, you know, what, thanks thought, I know you're there, accept it, and that's not helpful, so I'm just going to try and think of something a little bit more helpful.
Okay, now Claire, you have an email address if you want anyone to ask you some questions, or if there's anything that anyone wants to ask you, they can email you on
hello@illumines.com.au.
okay, that sounds great. And I'm going to work on this mindfulness and happy helpful thoughts during the week. And see how I go. I don't hold out any great sort of results on this, but
you'll try.
As a bloke, I'm going to try and think mindful thoughts and helpful thoughts during this week. I've been working on my balance.
Oh, awesome.
A couple of weeks ago, I've been working on my balance, and I've got to the point now where I have to wear a helmet and shoulder pads. But that's okay. At least I'm moving forward in my life.
Good. I love hearing that.
I haven't fallen over too many times. I haven't done too many damage anyway. Claire, thanks for your time this morning. It's been great to catch up with you. You have an awesome week.
I shall.
And we'll catch you again next Saturday morning on 99.7.